Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Oscar did bring up one key question that I will follow up. Are you shirtless while you handle the merchandise?
Heavens no.
Okay.
But no secret is more closely guarded at Augusta National than what a certain select few refer to as the members' bunker. Carved into the hillside on the east side of Rays Creek, you might miss a metal door that leads to an underground gathering room where you are one of the fortunate few to see Augusta's secret treasures.
I'm happy that it's exciting that, you know, they need Spanish-speaking drivers. You are terrible on your phone, and you're borderline hostile when people ask you to do things that you don't think are appropriate. Like, you'll show up with a certain milk brand that you like and not what they asked for.
I can see that happening.
If they want whole milk.
And Inca milk.
Yeah, or you'll be like,
the golden milk.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
When you first step onto the hallowed soil, the Augusta National Golf Club, it is truly a feeling unlike any other. Many wish for, but few can achieve, the dream of walking where the greats have been. The sight of the greatest spectacle in American golf. But along with the traditions we have all become familiar with, there is a treasure trove of secret masters' customs, many so secret they have never been revealed. Until now. Did you know that an upstairs room in Butler Cabin has always secretly been referred to as the bad place? A place where members who violated any of Augusta National's bylaws would be put for an unspecified time to reflect on their misdeeds and ultimately be visited by the chairman, or mommy, as the story goes, to receive the peach buzz, an archaic punishment involving clipping shears, rubbing alcohol, and sesame seeds. Let's just say the late night screams would indicate to the green jackets that a particular member would not stray again. If you were ever to get close to Eisenhower Pine prior to its removal in 2014, you might have noticed a dead spot where the grass simply would not grow. Incredibly, the earth beneath the patch of brown became totally unfertile after decades used as Ike's potty. Oh. When the 34th president was unable to hold his water until the main clubhouse. You can bring that up and down when I stand. Unknown to the public and only a select number of members during the Billy Payne era, an exclusive ritual held late Wednesday night on the middle of the practice range was referred to as rolling out the weasel. 18 members, handpicked by Payne, would gather naked, hold hands, and decorate their nether regions in all the colors of the rainbow. They would dance, they would frolic, and then retire to the champion's dining room for hot chocolate and cards. Implemented in 1997 was the Stadler Rule.
Oh, no.
A little-known codicil in the player's manual that implements a two-stroke dress code penalty for any player over 230 pounds who wears lighter-than-khaki pants. The rule was in response to Craig Stadler's 1992 Thursday round, where he donned white slacks and, as chairman Clifford Roberts put it, made his own stripes. But no secret is more closely guarded at Augusta National than what a certain select few refer to as the members' bunker. Carved into the hillside on the east side of Rays Creek, you might miss a metal door that leads to an underground gathering room where you are one of the fortunate few to see Augusta's secret treasures Inside the members' bunker is a fully functional porno movie theater. Shelf after shelf of Deep South Civil War memorabilia. Their very own soft serve ice cream machine.
Oh, that's nice.
And a bowling alley. Topping off the list of member goodies is a personalized locker cubicle where each member keeps his monogram slinky. Current chairman Fred Ridley says the members' bunker is where the chosen come to unwind and, as he puts it, clean off the stink of the general public after a day of tedious hobnobbing. Yes, it's time once again to celebrate the green jacket. Who will win the prize this year? And who will get to taste the rare air of Augusta? If they have their way, rest assured, it won't be you. And why should it be? America needs its ruling class as much as the national chapter needs a grand dragon. And they don't have room for you common folk. As Bobby Jones once said, you can shower all day and it won't ever get out the I don't belong here dirt. Relax, little people. Turn on your TVs, scratch your asses, and get ready for a tradition unlike any other. The Masters Tournament 2023. Please stay behind the rope.
A thing of beauty.
Yes.
Wonderful.
Well, we hadn't done it in a couple of years, so I thought maybe
CBS.
We would.
CBS.
Our tribute to Jim Nance.
Yes, you know? Of course.
Mike, it motivated me with all the Nancy stuff that we had. That
well,
was,
there's also,
that
was I don't know, maybe I'm more aware of it now, but the coverage is everywhere.
It's more intense this year. Now, I have to say, being the golf aficionado that I am, yesterday I recorded, when I was out, I recorded the par 3 tournament.
Oh.
You can have that. That
nonsense.
It might be fun. It's not nonsense, it's just not, it's boring.
I had it on the background.
Really,
I didn't know what was going on.
Was that carried on one of the 4K channels?
No, it was on ESPN. I was like, what's happening?
It was on ESPN, and yeah. I went out and, you know, so much for me downsizing. I went out and grabbed me the ESPN package. You know, DirecTV won't let you just a la carte things. That that would be counterproductive to their big money deal. So I actually, you know, I watched it. And I'm like, oh, man, I look, I got the ESPN because I needed ESPN. I have to have that.
Well,
network. But
I was shocked when I saw it wasn't on your roster.
I wish I could give you mine.
I
wish I could give you mine.
What?
My ESPN. I wish we could share. Because
well, I wish. Thank you. That's very generous of you.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. It just was, I don't know. It's like, it's so cute. They got family. 87-year-old Gary Player running around.
And it doesn't count for anything.
It just was dull.
Yeah,
you know, I like it when their lives are on the line.
That's nice.
That's what I'm into.
How do they make it a par 3 tournament? Do they move the pins? Do they move the driveway?
It's a separate course, Rob.
Oh, it is a totally separate
executive course.
It's not even
the
right course.
No, they have another course out there.
It's the one they use for the you know, they don't give an F round.
Ah, okay, it's their equivalent.
Yeah, they go out, they are naked, and they're drinking cocktails, and they're doing that.
I think he. His ball went into the water, first ball, and I was like, and he just made this funny joke because
Gary Player, you're talking
his
about?
Work.
Because he's 87.
It speaks for itself, and one gave an F. It was great.
It was fun.
Yeah.
It was fun to watch him, but I mean, other than
everyone
that,
else.
Like, yeah.
Was the funny remark, I think I remember it, Mike, is he hit it, and it at the very last second went in the water, and he said, has anyone seen my nitroglycerin pills? He's funny.
Oh, my God.
I like seeing the families.
The man is healthy, too. Really. Yeah. But not, you know what they do? They're so afraid of the members, and they are so afraid of offending the ruling class that you get a situation out there where I think it was ripe with hotties. I think there were hotties as far as the eye could see.
Oh, the wives
and
girlfriends?
You didn't get any shots of that because they didn't want to do that. They didn't want to deal with
that. I saw there was one Dreamboat's beautiful wife.
Dreamboat.
Was it Mrs. Player?
And I kept on, you know, we were working, so I kept on missing who this Dreamboat was.
Yeah, I know who you're talking. And she was wearing the jumpsuit, too.
Yeah, the whole family was.
Which is jumpsuits. Look, fashion icons have created jumpsuits for women for decades. The jumpsuit works.
Was she wearing a jumpsuit?
Woman.
Forgive my ignorance, but was she wearing the jumpsuit because she was caddying for her husband? Is that why she was wearing
it? Yeah, as a matter of fact, I read everything there is. And by the way, you know, you want to talk about a nice gig?
Yes.
A nice gig is to write for the golf magazines,
mm-hmm.
where every March and April, it's just like, okay, print the same thing you've written for 30
years. You know,
years.
Who mastered that was USA Today. USA mm-hmm. Today would do the same Masters coverage every year. Every yeah. year. Yeah. Same color graphics, everything.
So just to give the people at home, I'm sure you have to work and you don't get to watch the Masters just passively on your television. Or you're working from home and that's what you're doing. As I'm watching the actual round, and the kids, the family, that's nice, right?
That's nice.
Usually when I see family, that's like no-go zone, turn around, don't drown. For
okay,
like my
I
inner,
understand.
Like,
I
what's
understand.
Going on here?
Right, I get it.
But, again, this one dreamboat smoke show wife was so attractive that I was like, whoa, what's
yeah.
going on here?
Yeah, welcome to the world of professional golfers.
Why don't they date uggos?
Well, I mean, it's just the power, the money, the travel, all the excitement. By the
isn't
way,
that
Vanity
enough?
Fair.
Isn't that enough for them?
You know, more, it's yeah. not always enough, Oscar, because I'm reading a profile in this month's Vanity Fair of Gisele Bündchen. And sadly, living at her mountain retreat down in Costa Rica and mm-hmm. reflecting on the marriage failure with Tom Brady. And I will tell you this, and I understand in photo shoots for magazines, they do wonderful things with women and they doctor these photos, but that woman still is runway gorgeous, like ready.
Well, she's a supermodel, right?
Ready to and genetically, just my God, she looks fantastic. Mm-hmm. And she's talking about what's next and everything else, and you know, she doesn't throw Tom Brady under the bus at all. She really comes across as being very sad. And it's a drag. I'm hearing something behind me, and it's driving me nuts. Do you guys hear that?
Nothing from you.
Well, I mean,
like a hum.
We don't hear the hum.
All right.
There is some.
Checking.
There is some line noise, but that's something we would filter out in post.
All right, right. Just checking.
Yeah.
And she's very, very humble, and she's sad. She's so rich, you know, and she's doing that thing.
Do you think it's genuine, or do you think it's very well played?
It's hard to say in a magazine article. You can't always tell, but
it's
but
manufactured.
Lovely.
Gotta be.
She's
I mean, who's is it? Like her? Oh God, is her jiu-jitsu partner or her coach? I don't know who
I don't
it is.
Know. She talks about yoga a little bit.
Yeah,
she's got a yoga.
Like we'd all be okay if we had him around.
Sure,
I'm
well,
getting really into
look,
this.
I think we know.
Sorry.
That,
actually, I'm
that,
not sorry.
She says, by the way, that the whole thing about the breakup occurring because she didn't want Tom Brady to play another season was not true. Not partially true. She says not true. That the foundation, the cracks in the foundation were happening before that.
SBF. When they took that trip to the Bahamas to shake that little guy down to get their money back in the middle of training camp.
That's like, the crypto guy you're talking about?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Sam Bankman-Fried.
Yeah, they put a lot of money into it.
Yeah, and I was like,
they had a lot of money, but
no.
They put a lot of money into
like,
it.
That's relationship doctors say or therapists, they say, you fight about money. Money,
yeah.
money, money, money. Doesn't matter. It's all relative to you.
That's true.
Until you got this little guy in the Bahamas with all your crypto cash.
Yeah, mm-hmm. the crypto version of Bernie Madoff.
Yeah.
Who's now in the Who's Cow. Hey, let's bring our talking head in, shall we?
Yes.
We haven't done this in a while, and I guess we had some problems that. Thursdays are tough. I called an early taping today, and I couldn't make the bell.
No problem.
Because just too much going on.
Happens to the best of us.
Oh.
All the greats known to be late.
And, you know, let me tell
well,
you
not
the,
all of them.
What the extra space has done for me down here.
Yes.
I will tell you this. I had the old man trip. I came out. My wife couldn't relate to this because she's feeling a little under the weather.
Uh-huh.
You know, leading up to what she always does, getting her cold. It'll hit on Sunday, go Monday, Tuesday, and by Wednesday, she will have given it to me. That's the way that
just
will
in
work.
Time, yeah.
Just in time for New Orleans. No,
yeah.
But I was explaining, you know what I'll tell people that are younger when they get to be my advanced age? I will tell them, beware of tripping. Because I got a new light stand here,
that has a footprint, and I literally mean footprint, of 12 feet. It's got spider legs that go
C-stand
out this far.
Yeah.
And it's a little dark in here when I come in the morning. But anyway, I digress. Let's bring in the talking head, Doug Canoop. Doug is a native of Seattle, Washington, who has been listening to us since back in the Don and Mike days. He is a theater actor, director, producer, and a huge pop culture, a pop culture movie geek. He is a theater guy through and through. You must have enjoyed your conversation with him, Rob.
More than you know.
he has encountered the likes of Anthony Perkins, Psycho's Anthony Perkins.
Yes.
Wow. And Megan Hilty, known for Wicked and the TV show Smash. He had a 32-year career writing for the Seattle Times before he was downsized out of a job. He was recently let go by the powerful Costco Corporation. That's not good. Nobody gets fired by Costco. We'll ask him about that. His favorite aspect of the show, the busting of the balls.
Thank you.
He once nearly ran into Jim Zorn, quarterback Jim Zorn. Intrigued you should be. Here's Doug Noop. Noop, I assume the K is silent.
That's Noop. Yep.
How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
Wonderful. It's a very interesting television shot we have here. I feel like perhaps Carol Ann is going to come out of the light in a second based on that. How are you, Doug? And I got to get right to it with you. Your most recent gig was for the cost-cutting company Costco recently?
Yes. It was a temp. Oh, go ahead.
It was a temp job?
It was a temp position, so that's why they could let me go on a Friday with 20 minutes left in my shift. That's all. We don't need you anymore.
Brutal.
Okay.
So being a temp situation, were you made aware going into the gig that this might happen anyway, that this would not be a full-time job?
Right. I'd worked on and off for them for like
You
the
bring
last
his
five
level
years.
Up to me a little bit, guys.
You bet,
thank
you.
Bet. Uh-huh. Go ahead, Doug. I'm sorry.
I worked for them on and off for the last 5 years, and I know they always need me from like late September through January because that's their busiest time in the department I was working in. But then January came and they said, well, we're probably going to need you for a couple of more months. So I'm guessing February, March, but no, it came at the end of February.
Okay.
And they just said, we're not as busy as we thought. And so...
What department were you in at Costco? Hot dogs?
As I was telling Rob, I didn't work in the warehouse. I worked back in their jewelry.
Ooh.
So jewelry and watches.
That's
so
a kiosk, isn't it? I'm a Costco aficionado. That's the kiosk? The jewelry kiosk?
Yeah, but this is back in a whole separate building away from the warehouse. So the stuff comes in from their, who they buy from. And it gets counted, put in vaults, and then they bring it out when they get the orders from all the different warehouses. And we package it up and ship it out.
Everybody's got Costco questions.
Well, I, if you don't mind, I want to jump in here, Doug. Welcome
sure.
to the program.
Thank you.
How did they separate the blood diamonds and the conflict diamonds?
They don't tell us that they're blood diamonds or not.
Just want to make sure.
So no contact with the general public, right?
Hmm?
No contact with the general public.
No.
But when you take a delivery and they have some really high-line jewelry and Mike loves watches. Let's say you get a big box of watches that are $2,000, $3,000 watches. How many come in a shipment? And I guess counting would be important because just one light, if one falls off the truck, you got trouble.
Yeah. I would say they come in hundreds.
Wow.
A couple of hundred. And they're on the big... like you would see in the warehouse where everything's stacked up so high.
Yeah, pallet.
But in this separate warehouse, it's all jewelry. And so they're all labeled and all that stuff.
Mike, we're getting a bounce back now on Doug's audio. Did you shift anything on your end?
No, but you guys, this is a line issue.
Yeah, might be a connection issue.
Yeah.
Apologies.
So let's pause for 1 second here.
All right, we are back. And we actually took a small brief pause there to get Mike worked out with some audio stuff that he's finalizing. But I wish we had recorded what we talked about.
Oh, no, Doug, I can ask you again. Because I didn't ask him. This is my theory.
You were spinning. You were stream of consciousness.
I'm not spinning. I'm not just talking to talk. I actually thought that this is the process.
Okay.
I think of jewelry, central exchanges. If you're processing, deliver, maybe it's for the Pacific Northwest. Right. And for a place like Costco, I think about the movie New Jack City and every other drug movie out there, that in the enterprise room, there are men in their underwear and women in their underwear counting the diamonds. I don't believe that's probably happening, you know, for in the world of Costco. And I'm not sure what you can talk about, but is it a climate control? Is there black lights? What is there in this receiving center for the jewelry that we goes to the what I feel like the entire country?
And also, Oscar did bring up one key question that I will follow up. Are you shirtless while you handle the merchandise?
Heavens no.
Okay.
What's the security protocol?
Yeah, what is the security protocol?
Well, I know when I, the first weeks or so that I started there, you can't bring any personal, like, purses or bags or even hats in there.
Oh, wow.
So you couldn't slip something in a pocket or something. But they're very, and, you know, they've got supervisors walking up and down the line to make sure you're, and it wasn't a sweat house?
Sweat, no. Sweatshop.
It was an yeah, but I don't mind thinking of switch. I'm just thinking of sheer security, right?
Right.
Do you, and maybe I'm thinking, overthinking this.
Right.
The, but maybe Rob is right. There's like $3,000 watch. I don't know if you guys sell, what's the, I guess, the range of jewelry you would handle?
Anything from plain gold hoop earrings, which are about $100 a pair, to we had stuff that's called high end, and they would, you know, group it together and bring it to specific people to work on. That was over $100,000 for a diamond necklace.
Wow.
Just as a quick sidebar, and I don't mean to wind up you. You worked it. You did it. at the Natural History Museum.
Yeah.
And I don't think I've ever, maybe I've said this, I talked about, probably not. I don't know. So at one point we were working with the possibility in the early Podville days that working with, the Natural History Museum and
the Smithsonian
mm-hmm. and they have the Hope Diamond there. They have everything. The amount of vaults and security that we had to walk through was a little, not shocking, but interesting to say the least, but also, the cavalier nature of like, okay, like, am I going to get patted down? No, they said, if you could just please keep your hands and your palms open when you're in the room.
That makes sense.
And, you know, I'm in a suit. We've been walking for 3 hours. You feel like, you know, there's a camera in there. I'm not touching a thing, by the way. Like, I'm hands off. I'm like a little kid around mm-hmm. some fine china. And it's intimidating. For you, clearly not.
No. At first, it was a little intimidating, especially when I would, you know, get a stack of stuff and, you know, had a computer monitor there. You could look up how much stuff was worth. And after a while, I just stopped doing that because I didn't want to know that I was handling $30,000 worth of jade or whatever.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah, the thing that had to be so wild is that it's not just one $30,000 piece.
No, multiple pieces.
It's a pallet of $30,000 pieces. Yeah. Wow.
And are you looking for imperfections? Are you just bringing them into the system?
No, there's actually a whole separate department in the building that does the imperfection looking and deals with returns and all that other stuff. We were just taking the product, boxing it up into the little jewelry boxes, putting the shrink wrap over it, putting it through the shrinker, sending it over to the boxing, and it gets boxed up and shipped off to wherever.
It's amazing to think of it.
Well, also, just you have the amount of security that's probably involved, and maybe it's just all cameras and the eye in the sky.
Right.
Like, once it's in a box and shrink wrapped, are you opening it back up? What if I didn't put that jade piece in there?
Yeah, do you ever second guess yourself?
I have done that. Yeah. But, like, you know, you get through like 100 and you get down to the last couple and you only have one ring left when you should have had two.
Oh.
So did you put two in one box? And then you have to go back and look, and it's, yeah.
How does your boss feel about that when he sees all the shrink wrap coming off?
not well. I mean, usually I discovered it before it would go through shrink wrap, so it'd be easy to go back and grab your tote that had the stuff in it and paw through it that way.
It's a different attitude, because I've on the floor of Costco, I one time broke a bottle of Dom Perignon.
Oh, how did you break it?
It rolled out of my cart. It was up.
Look at this guy.
I thought it was.
The fact that it was in your cart is shocking.
Well, I used to drink, Oscar.
No,
and so I put it like.
High end, though.
Well, it was a gift, I believe. Mm. And then, as a matter of fact, I know it was a gift. You know what? It was Katie Forbes von Herman's wedding gift.
I've never had a Dom.
And so I usually give that for second marriages.
Gotcha.
And so I had it up where the kid sits, right? And I took a turn and it fell and it. And a guy came over right away, and he's clean. I said, "I'm really, really sorry. Do I have to pay for that?" Yeah. He says, "No, but next time try to break something cheaper."
Yes, I would have made you pay it. Jesus Christ, Doug. I don't know how much time we have, Rob. My apologies.
Oh, we're good.
I need to ask you about your time at the paper.
Yeah,
what did you do at the paper?
I worked. Well, to be perfectly honest, to go way, way back, I was a paper boy when I was a kid.
Yeah,
like junior high and middle school. So I was a paper boy for a long time for the Seattle Times. And then when I started at the paper here, so right out of college, and I worked in the phone room, answering phones for people who didn't get their newspaper. That's fun.
Did you major in journalism out of college?
No, I majored in theater.
Oh, okay, naturally. So you but got into newsprint.
an old high school friend of mine, and well, I've been the editor of my yearbook at my high school.
Oh, okay.
So I had a little bit of it from that. But an old friend of mine from high school said, "We know they're looking for people in the customer service setting." So I started, did that. And then this job opened up in the newsroom, up in the arts and entertainment department. So did lists of the movie showtimes, theater to go see, classical music, nightclubs, all that stuff.
How many years?
32.
Wow. So you saw the entire evolution and lived the digital the from like analog to digital world of big paper.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
You predated going to the internet to find out what movie was playing where.
Exactly.
That's crazy.
I remember when the first fax machine came into the newsroom, and that was the big thing, right? You know, that the stuff would come in.
Yeah.
And all those noisy fax machines.
And look, if I'm going to get too boring, just tell me. I would have
said that 10 years ago.
I remember that.
Oh, hi, Mike.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm just working on some things. I'll be right.
No worries.
I love the voice of the sky.
Doug.
Yes.
Is there any anecdote you can share? Because from business school, I remember we actually wrote a paper on the evolution of what the papers were prior to the World Wide Web.
Yeah.
And then the World Wide Web, and then the paywalls that came up. And different people had different ideas of how to do it. And there was some misunderstanding with at one point, everybody was following the New York Times at that time. And they said, if they're doing it, we should do it.
Yeah, the old gray lady.
And it was back and forth. And I don't know how you all feel, but there is always going to be a place for these local papers.
Of course.
But it's become more national and international.
As long as they stay local, that's what they can cover.
How was your experience?
Well, there used to be a whole section just off the newsroom where these guys the typesetters would actually put, it would print out and then they would cut it and set it on the page physically.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And then by the time I left, they had these massive computers that everything was shipped to them and then they could do it digitally, put it on the page. I'm sorry, too many hands. Do it on the page like that. So it just became more and more, and even the movie show times that I used to type in myself, that came from a service where we would get all the show times for that.
I can't imagine that we existed in a time when they were still typesetting like Little House on the Prairie.
Yeah, it's not too long ago.
It's not that long ago.
Yeah.
No.
I'm enamored by the processes and how they've evolved, even, studying how Politico was built.
Yeah.
And then all these micro news sources that have become national in their own right that are serving a certain subset of the market. There's a magic to being at such a large paper in a major city. Did you feel the magic?
Yes. I was there when the space shuttle blew up.
Wow.
Wow.
And there's just something magic, I guess, to use your word, even though it was a horrible thing.
Yeah, yeah, more of an
maybe gravitas
or an electric.
Everybody kind of stops.
Yeah,
you know, obviously looking up because they had TVs in the newsroom, and then boom, everybody had a job to do. Mm. You know, find the story, find the photo, find, you know, get all that stuff together. Even, well, 9/11 was a little different because it was so early out here when it happened. So right. I was at home when that happened. But going down to the newsroom that day was just like, you know, any special projects or anything you were working on that wasn't related to getting that stuff out, just forget it. We got to concentrate on doing this.
Would it help you? Would it sort of help you deal with these tragedies, the fact that you were focused on providing the news? I mean, it would had to be great to not just try to process all the facts on a personal level. You are actually having to deliver the story, and those around you were having to deliver the story. Did it help you get through those times?
I think so.
Yeah.
But I still had plenty of time to try to cope with it myself, you know, when I got home. And obviously it's a world away, but I remember coming out of the building at the end of the day on September 11th after gotten everything done that I needed to get done. And the first thing I did was look up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like, what is one coming here?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, Mike.
The gravitas, I guess. There's a sense of responsibility.
Yeah.
That's a better word if that's, you know, the magic of it is the magic we talk about in radio, but there's a level of responsibility that,
sure,
you know, when any of these historical moments happen, and let me be clear, Don and Mike and Mike O'Mara and Rob have had more of these in real time that I listened to than I was, you know, probably because of luck or our age that we were exposed to. There were some moments, but nothing like I remember I was an intern at WHFS when 9/11 happened.
Yeah.
You know, so you just, you think about this and how it changes even your responsibility for being on the air, but being at a major paper, like you have to, it's all hands on deck.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
All right.
They were also very good about the fact for the next couple of days, they said, if you're having problems coping with it and you don't want to come in, or you want to come in part-time, leave early, whatever, they were good with that.
That's the West Coast in you. That's the West. You're soft.
I'm not sure Oscar would go with that. on a lighter note, let's talk about your theater experience. Obviously, you're not a decrepit old man. So at 32 years of the business of newspapers, you were probably being a theater guy at the same time, right?
Yes.
So how did you get into the world of theater?
Oh, I've been doing theater since I was a kid. I used to put on stuff in the basement of my house growing up in the suburbs, you know, do silly little kid stuff, invite all the neighbors. My mom would have to feed them, and she didn't like them.
So you said that you were in theater your whole life and you were a theater major. When you graduated from college, and where did you go to college?
Mm-hmm. Huh?
Where did you go to college?
Oh, Eastern Washington University.
Okay. So not too far away. When you got out, what was your first big theater gig or theater experience as a professional in the real world?
I
do remember doing extra work on a movie called Come See the Paradise with Dennis Quaid. Oh, God, nobody's heard of it.
Well, we know Dennis Quaid.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. But that was kind of my big brush with fame. And I was dressed as a police officer and there was horses rearing and people protesting, and I mean, as part of the movie
showbiz, yeah.
And you also worked with Anthony Perkins from News 4.
No, that's Tony Perkins on News 4. He encountered Anthony Perkins from Hollywood, who was in Psycho. Yeah,
fair enough.
Yeah, what was your experience like with Anthony Perkins, one of my favorite actors?
Kind of a little, well, not embarrassing, but maybe a little bit. There's a film festival here in Seattle every year.
Yeah,
and one year, as part of the festival, they showed Psycho 3.
Yes.
Which Anthony Perkins directed.
Yeah, he did a lot of press for that because he was so proud of the fact that he directed it. It wasn't a great film, but it was great that he directed it, I think.
So I went to the screening knowing that he was going to be there. I used to do a lot of the film festival stuff. And I remember walking into the lobby, you know, some people, not a lot. And he was just standing there by the snack bar, and he smiled, and I just walked up, and I don't know why I did this. I said, "Howdy!" Oh. I'm not just dumb. And he shook his hand and he said, asked me why I was interested in this movie. And I said, well, I want to see what you do with the story, see where it goes.
Mm.
Just the fact that howdy, I don't ever greet anybody like that.
Were you wearing a cowboy hat?
No, but I think he might have, I was thinking about this, he might have had, you know, some kind of Western looking shirt on or something. And maybe that's what provoked it. Or maybe
because that's not
being stupid.
Yeah, you probably, I mean, look, that's sometimes so when you meet celebrities, we've all been there.
Yeah.
You're just like, you don't know how to act.
Yeah, you know what I said to Keith Richards? What? I said, you know what? You rock. He said, yeah, you think so? Mm-hmm. The lead guitarist, the Rolling Stones. Before we let you go, do you have anyone you'd like to say hi to?
Well, my mom, I told her about this, my 86-year-old mom. She said, well, how do I listen to this podcast if I want to listen to it? So, hi, Mom. It's Doug.
That's awesome. Do you want to tell her howdy?
Howdy, Mom. So I greet her like Anthony Perkins.
Thank you for supporting the show.
Yeah, we really do appreciate it, Doug. And thank you for getting up so early and being our talking head. We do appreciate it.
No problem.
Thank you.
Keep in touch. Have a great day, man. Appreciate it.
Bye.
Bye-bye. That's Doug Knoop from Seattle. And checking out. Howdy.
Howdy.
You're one of the scariest people that's ever been in Hollywood.
Mike's
howdy.
Back.
Oh, Mike. Stop the music.
I'm sort of back. I really am.
Okay.
You can go to commercials.
Yeah, we see you. Commercials.
We see you.
Stop that.
Oh, okay.
My commercials are gone. My audio is gone. My video's been gone.
We'll see you on the other side.
I'm in trouble down here, to be honest with you.
Send help.
We'll figure it out.
Okay, we'll be back after this.
Excited about the new look of the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hi there, this is Jim Amato, and I'm loving the new look of the Mike O'Mara Show.
This is Robin Ferguson.
This is Stephanie Larson.
This is Doug, and I'm loving the new look of the Mike O'Mara Show.
Check it out. New lights, new set, new video, and a brand new look that everybody loves.
Hi, this is Jolene.
This is Sharon Bailey.
Hi, this is Steve Kelsey, and I am loving the new look of the Mike O'Mara Show.
We're always working to make the show better for you, so check out the new look on YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, and the Gram.
Hi, this is Dirk Vastrick.
Hi, this is Linda Herr, and I am loving the new look of the Mike O'Mara Show.
Everyone is excited about the new look of the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hey, this is Matt Bloom. I love the new look of the Mike O'Mara Show. It's great.
Great job. Thanks, Pony. I think you really sold it. But make sure to check out the new look of the Mike O'Mara Show on Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. This portion of our program is brought to you by Dadgrass.
Yeah.
We've told you about Dadgrass. We love Dadgrass. You will, too, ladies and gentlemen. I promise you that. Dadgrass is absolutely wonderful. Very far away from me right now because it's across the room.
May I chime in, if you don't mind?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Please.
Look, they've got the classic formula, tincture.
Yes.
You can also get some spliffs.
Mm-hmm.
They have everything there. They also have the good time formula, which is the formula that can actually give you that high that you're looking for. But I get the one without the high, just the
one
CBD.
The one that helps you relax.
Yes,
good stuff,
relax.
Isn't it?
Yeah,
I love
the gummies. The gummies are outstanding.
Help you sleep. You've got stuff for your dogs. It's every 2 weeks, the tincture shows up. And you know, Mike,
for me,
it's hard to fall asleep. The classic formula, tincture, one drop, good to go.
It's like having a glass of wine instead of the whole bottle. It's a gentle, gentle feeling. I love it.
Something that I'm on a recurring plan, and Shannon's like, your Dadgrass is here. Where would you like me to put it? Where would you like me to put it?
Well, she's had it too.
Literally, I've done more stuff on the fly on this show successfully over the years when I really think about it.
Yeah.
And those days are over. I'm no longer able to do it with this configuration.
I disagree. I think you're doing fine.
No, I can't. I can't scroll. I can't open things up. I'm trying, guys. I'm trying desperately.
Well, you're working off of cartoons, like a monitor at distance, and they're growing pains.
Yeah. Well, I finally got it. All Dadgrass products are federally legal for ages 18 and over, and it ships right to your door anywhere in the U.S. Right now, Dadgrass is offering TMOS listeners 20% off your first order. When you go to dadgrass.com/TMOS,
Go to dadgrass.com/TMOS for 20% off your first order. Remember, man, that's dadgrass.com/TMOS. There we go. Free of hum, I take it, after a little editing, which I probably should have.
Yeah, we never heard the hum on our end, Mike.
No,
We never heard the hum on our end.
I'm so frustrated.
But, you know.
This is back to original frustration from the old days.
Well, no, the old days, we lose connection completely.
Yes.
That was brutal.
Yeah.
We're in a better spot now.
Things are better.
Also, I was thinking
about Rob. God.
Yeah, they're not.
They're not, Rob.
Yes, they're not.
This studio is a shit show. It is. I'll be honest with you. I've been trying to figure things out.
I can say I'm going to hire a gaffer.
And by the way, I have to point out, the cables were laid not by me. And that's where the hum came from. And when I got them all out of here, that's fine. But what I was responsible for was destroying iPads the other day. So that contributed to it, too. So it's a little bit frustrating. But then again, this week is frustrating, and I'm trying to I have to go see my doctor and get more meds. That's what I have to do, because otherwise my head is just going to pop and explode, and that's all there is going to be to it. That's it. It's just going to be, you're going to see a stain on the wall behind me in here, and it's going to be, hey, it was a great show, wasn't it? Yeah, he was a good guy. I mean, I know he was a little misunderstood, but he was a decent person. He really was, you know? All right, now I am going to try to open that up. Let me see if that works. No, that doesn't work.
Do you want your news stager?
No, I want to do it myself.
All right.
Thank you. Hold on.
That's what my mom
told me. Let me try it now. Nope, don't have that. All right, hold on just a second.
We're here for you.
All up.
Yes.
I'm opening
like
them all.
Like the same
before. Oh, my God.
That's the effects,
what
Mike.
What the hell is that? Why is that so loud? And why is it coming through my regular microphone? I want to cry. I want to go home, but I am home. I really want to go home. I want to go home. I'm just left high and dry down here. I don't have the talent to lay things out the way. This is like, would you not agree? Oscar Santana, yes. I will ask you, since you put these things in, would you not agree with the schedule we have and with the delays we had, this job was about 3/4 finished, correct?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I didn't want to leave. I thought we should
stay
another day.
Lights not in the wrong place. Cable's not hidden.
but that was a byproduct of poor planning on both ends.
I know, but I'm just
and we're
to
and we're we are doing
really
the best
trying.
We can. I can get a gaffer to come out there next week, Mike. A gaffer, for those of you not in the business, it's someone that tidies up, cleans up, knows what to do on set.
I've heard of their tape.
No.
The gaffer's tape.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, it's part of it.
We could do that.
Yeah, yeah. Bring a couple rolls of that.
Yeah, it's all relative, right? Mm-hmm. I think that that there's a level.
It sounds good, doesn't it?
Well, that we can hear.
We
that
can
does
hear
not
that,
sound
yes.
great.
Yes. That's the connect. That's these. That's when you connect.
Yeah, but that's something we can get
that's
past.
That's when you connect this.
Yes.
To that.
Yes.
It has been dog poopy since the beginning. It is still. By the way, what's the running time of the show with your 45-minute interview that you did with that guy?
42 minutes and 23 seconds.
Oh, we have to take a break.
Okay. All right.
We have to take a break. Let's take a break. We will come back. I'll try to get this together to play my stuff. I'm trying. Am I going to have you? I don't want to have a nervous breakdown. I really don't.
You can do this.
Yeah, you can. Hey,
God.
It's Ron. There you go.
Yeah, because I muted it.
Oh, okay.
All right, there we go. All right.
Hello und guten Tag. This is Arnold, and I wanted to talk to you about Ostertag, or as you call it here in das USA, Easter. As you know, it's all about the big rabbit with the eggs of color, the spins of jelly, and sweets for the kinder. But did you know that Das Bunny first came to America with the German immigrants in the 1700s? His name was Achterhaus, and he knew how to lay eggs in the things and stuff with the children. They'd make the nests and hope that the Achterhaus would lay the eggs there, because all children love eggs. Of course, nowadays, Easter involves the baskets and the grass and mouse pick peeps and chocolate bunny and the gummies. You can buy them all at the shopping center at MichaelMerrishow.com. That's where I buy my Easter bonnet and the fancy hose. I want to look my best for Osterhaus. Long live the rabbit. Danke schön. Und auf Wiedersehen.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Legacy Box is the perfect solution for digitally preserving your past. Send it in, and your Legacy Box filled with old tapes, reels, and photos, and you get back digital copies that can be easily enjoyed, shared, and organized, and like magic. It's done right here in the good old USA. Save your memories from heat, mold, and fire. Not to mention that magnetic tape, like what's used in VHS and camcorder tapes, it was only made to last 10 to 20 years. Legacy Box is a super simple mail-in service to have all of your videotapes, camcorder tapes, film reels, and pictures converted to perfectly preserved digital files. They've helped over a million customers safeguard their past. We've all used it, and we all loved it. The memories they have preserved for me are invaluable. Join over 1 million families that have trusted Legacy Box and preserve your past. Plus, for a limited time, Legacy Box is running a $9 videotape sale. That's 65% off. There's never been a better time to convert your entire collection. So visit legacybox.com/TMOS to shop their $9 tape sale. That's legacybox.com/TMOS to unlock this offer. Let's get right to the news of the day. We're going to start today with Donald Trump. He is collecting millions of dollars, people, by fundraising off his indictment. But Stormy Daniels is making some bank as well. On Tuesday, the day of Trump's arrest, searches for Stormy's videos on Pornhub, which a friend of mine, I don't know this personally, but a friend of mine said, they're just okay. Searches for her jumped to 650,000. That is a 32,400% increase compared to the first 3 months of the year. So she'd been forgotten.
Yes.
And now she's not. You can eat. There's no word how much she's making off the recent spike, but I would imagine, I don't know how Pornhub works. Like, if they get more hits like the YouTubes and all that, is it more money?
The way I understand it is...
A friend told you?
Well, it's a gateway to sin. It's the free to then convert to the paid. And the ads that go on to the actual movies, I think, are split within the production houses. I figure at this point, Stormy Daniels would probably have an OnlyFans. But I don't know that for sure because I'm not that big a pervert anymore.
Attaboy.
Oh,
you know
well,
what?
That's
you
good
bettered
to know.
Yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I can
very
always look.
Exciting. Sure. That's but don't touch.
Just for research purposes.
Exactly.
Research.
Stormy.
Hello.
Hi, everybody. I'm Mike O'Mara. Welcome to our show.
I don't hear a buzz anymore. I see you on a fader. I gotcha.
I understand. I'm
having trouble. Let me get through the news.
And we can do the rest
spot.
Of the show. No, worries.
No. I mean, I'll get through it. Ben Affleck's son Samuel plays basketball, meaning that like a lot of other dads, Ben has to work at not being that guy in the stands who takes things too seriously. But he doesn't always succeed. He said, "Quote: I found myself this. I can relate to this.
Yeah.
Just this year, really embarrassing myself." I was at a basketball game for 11-year-olds, loudly complaining about the inconsistencies of the traveling calls against them. Man, I feel like he's quoting me from last week. I forgot to mention that during my kids' flag football, as well as playing on the Bad News Bears, they hire these kids to referee.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And you get I've had two in 20 or 30 games that were even slightly engaged, and they are outliers, and it's great when you have it. The majority of them... absolutely watch check during the game, and this kid didn't know. He didn't blow his whistle one time during the flag football game, and that's who they rely on. It was fun to watch, but Ben is frustrated too. He says it's that thing, I think, in modern parenting especially, we want to help our children, which is true. We want them to succeed. We love them so much, and yet the real challenge is to get out of the way and let them do it on their own. And what I didn't mention to you, and I had it on the show prep today, was my kid wants to play real football.
Jesus.
And I am a little torn because I actually spoke to a dad about it yesterday, randomly, just bringing it up for conversation. And he had a kid that was in football, got a concussion, kept him out of season for protocol, and said he still lingers with the effects of it.
And Mike,
so,
I don't know if you remember.
Weird that I talked to him, you know?
We had a guest once that said, out of the blue, without prompting, never let your child play football. Do you remember who it was?
Dominique?
It was Bill Cosby.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Right.
That's the wrong guy.
I'm just saying that with all the stuff that Cosby has on his mind, that's still important to him. Don't let him play football.
Said a lot of things.
He did say a lot of things. Yeah.
Hmm. Okay.
That was awful.
Olivia Wilde claims that Jason Sudeikis has paid her zero child support. I watched Ted Lasso last night.
Mm-hmm.
Despite earning for Jason Sudeikis significantly more money, and this goes on and on, nasty divorce.
Yeah.
In court documents obtained by The Blast Tuesday, the actress and director said she is now carrying 100% of the cost of the children's care. Well, she's not poverty stricken, right?
No. I think she's making out okay.
She did note that she and Sudeikis split their kids' school tuition. Well, that's a thing. Mm-hmm. The Booksmart director, why are they promoting her movies with this? Why are they? I don't care what her project is. Olivia Wilde requested in the order that Ted Lasso pay child support and that she can provide for their children commensurate with Jason's standard of living. Jason responded saying, you know what the happiest animal on earth is? It's the goldfish. You know why? It's got 10-second memory. I'm sorry.
What is your take on Lasso this season?
Jason Sudeikis, thanks for that. Jason Sudeikis said, if you care about someone and you got a little love in your heart, there ain't nothing you can't get through together. Thank you. Jason Sudeikis was asked about the divorce papers. He said, ice cream is the best. It's kind of like seeing Billy Joel perform live. Never disappoints. When asked about the divorce proceedings, Jason Sudeikis said, your body's like day-old rice. If it ain't warmed up properly, something real bad can happen. Thank you. Thank you. Moving right along here. A new study found that the scent of peppermint can reduce aggressive driving behaviors. Now, I wonder about this because I chew a lot of cinnamon-flavored gum when I am behind the wheel.
Yeah.
I got a big thing. My new favorite is sugar-free Mentos gum. Might be the diet thing that I'm just want to get some kind of flavor. Road rage may be relieved by I should have that gum here. Road rage may be relieved by breathing in the sensation of a peppermint little tree air freshener. This isn't a huge surprise. The compounds in peppermint oil have been known to have positive calming effects on the brain, helping with depression, stress, and anxiety. The study used peppermint essential oil, so technically it isn't just the smell of peppermint. You might need to invest in a higher quality air freshener that was created for from the actual oil. Mm. I don't know about that. And they only tested peppermint versus no peppermint. So it's unclear if you could use other scents. That's why I mentioned the cinnamon, like pine tree, strawberry, cotton candy, or pina colada. So
I wonder if you
have
could
a scented car.
You have a Starlight Mint, if it would do any good.
What's a Starlight Mint?
The red and white candies that are peppermint flavored. You get them at restaurants a lot.
I think that anything like that, I think you're soothing yourself. Isn't that really what's like a flavored gum? Isn't that kind of soothing yourself?
Yeah.
What about a nice little tin of Skull dip?
What about what we used to have in Hustler magazine back in the day? Scratch and sniff.
Gross.
That didn't soothe anybody.
The annual Masters Champions Dinner took place at Augusta National on Tuesday night, and it sounds like there was a bit more tension in the air than in years past. Mm. You know the big thing between LIV and the PGA Tour?
Yeah.
Phil Mickelson was, at one point, one of golf's biggest and most outgoing stars. Very gregarious.
Yeah.
That came to an abrupt halt last year after he openly blasted the PGA, didn't show up the Masters. Several of golf's biggest stars have since done the same. They bolted over to LIV. Tommy Aaron, who won the Masters in 1973, was surprised at how silent Phil Mickelson was.
Tommy Aaron was surprised he was still breathing.
He said, I wished him good luck, but I couldn't believe how quiet he was. He said Phil took a very low profile. He didn't say a word. Mickelson skipped the Masters last year. Either he did not want to speak to his peers on Tuesday night's dinner, or he had reason to believe they did not want to speak with him.
This is just a piece put out by Big Golf, Big PGA.
I don't know what's going on. It's hard to say. The guys are playing.
Everyone's making more money.
Yeah.
This and actually worked.
And the guys are kind of playing side by side right now.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But Phil is He's got a reputation. But saying the wrong things. You
he
know?
Can do what he
know.
Wants.
Well, rumor has it he was in a bad mood because his bra was ill-fitting.
Oh, is that a fat? But he's thin now, Rob.
He's thin.
So you can't make those jokes
You
anymore.
Know what? I'll always go back to Fat Phil Mickelson.
Fat
always.
Phil. All right, moving right along. A simple laundry mistake almost cost one man his life after he narrowly escaped a fiery explosion at a laundromat in Spain. Mm. According to reports, the dramatic footage was captured in the port city of A Coruña in March. But it's been circulating online this week. It shows a man leaving the store with bags of laundry in his hand. But seconds later, a dryer suddenly stops and its door flings open before bursting into a ball of flame.
That's bad.
Shockwaves from the blast caused the shop front window to blow out. The laundromat sign of the building fell down, did not hurt anybody. Cigarette lighters are usually filled with butane. And if you put one in the pocket and put it in a dryer,
sure.
It can go boom. And that's what happened in that particular circumstance. let me see. All right. And now, things that will likely eventually happen to your penis.
Oh. Okay. I'm listening.
If they haven't already, get ready to be my age and older. Like other parts of your body, your penis is at the mercy of time as you age. Changes do occur. It is, that particular appendage will not be the same one that you knew 20 or 30 years ago. Here are the things. I give the top five.
All right.
Number one, it will droop. Number two, it will shrink. Number three, it may develop a curve. Number four, the up and down switch may not function as well as it used to.
I've had that.
Of course.
And number five, and this is the bad one, it may get cancer.
That is bad.
That's bad.
Thank you.
None of this will ever happen to me because nobody will be able to find mine. All hail the Irish mushroom. sorry I have no sound on this end. We will take a break and we will come back with more fun and more thrills. You are listening to the Mike O'Mara Show. You got to tell me what time we have when we come back.
Okay, I will. Absolutely.
People all over are talking about a new way of pampering themselves.
The Brazilian. I thought it had something to do with beekeeping.
Introducing a new you, feeling young and vibrant.
Dirk Aglow. Why can I not get the name Dirk out of my head?
Hey, ladies, let's get you looking radiant.
Here's an unsolicited testimonial about Dirk Aglow.
Hi. I'm Vicky. Dirk Glow worked a little too well for me. I'm a 58-year-old man who just joined a retired men's bowling league.
Well, it ain't for everyone. If you really want to pamper yourself, check out the real thing. Check out Derm Glow Skin to see what Carla can do for you.
She is a pure artist in her field. Oh, and by the way, men need not apply.
For products or consultation, visit DermGlowSkin.com today.
And by the way, hi, Carla.
Yuck.
Yeah. All right. Spring has officially sprung, and it is definitely getting warmer. Here in Florida, it's downright toasty hot yesterday.
Yeah.
That's why I need to stay hydrated, and I do it with Liquid IV. In just one stick, you get 5 essential vitamins and 2 times faster hydration than water alone. Use it first thing in the morning before a workout, when you feel run down, out on the golf course, after a long night out, long flights.
Mm.
So convenient to use, and Liquid IV is made with premium ingredients. It's non-GMO, free from gluten, dairy, and soy. Do you like flavor? How about the new sea berry? I haven't tried that one. Or strawberry lemonade flavors. Also, Concord grape, lemon lime, pina colada, tropical punch, watermelon, strawberry, passion fruit. We listed all the flavors for you. All great, plus Liquid IV is on a mission to change the world. Liquid IV has donated over 39 million servings in over 50 countries around the world. Plus, it's convenient and oh so delicious. It's the best way to start your day. I love it. Grab your Liquid IV in bulk nationwide at Costco, or you can get 20% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use the code TMOS at checkout. That's 20% off anything you order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code TMOS at liquidiv.com. I will be honest with you. I have been looking periodically, even at my advanced age, in little fun things to do a side hustle. I never really take it seriously. I even thought about doing an online store, and then I pulled off of that. I think I mentioned that I was going to do that. Just don't have the bandwidth, and I don't have the motivation to do it. That type of activity. Looked at watch trading for a while. Yeah. Decided that was the land of the sleaze. I didn't want to jump in there. But I'm always curious about this day and age of our modern economy when we have side hustles. Well, guess what? I am not the only one that does that. There's a little lady out in Olney, Maryland that is pursuing side hustles like nobody's business. She's Yoli, she's Oscar's mom,
yes,
and she's ready to believe you, ladies and gentlemen.
Mike, there's a level of, I think, acumen and hustle that someone needs to start any sort of second business or secondary income. And it could be as simple as, like, if you want to drive an Uber or a Lyft.
DoorDash.
DoorDash, whatever it may be. I've had some great conversations with people that are retired or they're in between jobs and they're just pushing these. Mm-hmm. They like talking to people.
Know if I can interrupt for a second? The invite. I got a job invite from an unrelated field yesterday. And it was kind of weird. Would you like a big company? Who can guess what the company was?
Oh my
I got
God.
It yesterday via email.
Unsolicited.
Are you interested in working for us?
Well, first, it's a tight labor market. So, Mike,
yeah, it is a tight labor market.
It could be anybody at this point.
It's one of the big three in America.
Is it Adam and Eve?
The sex, the marital aids. Nobody does begin with an A.
AARP.
Amazon.
Oh.
Really?
Look at that.
Amazon. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was interesting. And I looked at it and they need drivers. They need other positions, executive positions.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I just thought it was weird. Now we got tons of it down here in my backyard, but anyway, I digress. I just thought I'd mention
it. You
should reply and say, "Yes, I would like to be an executive, please."
That's what I should write.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll look in the $100,000 bill. That's the one from Lost in America.
Exactly. Great, great pull.
So tell me about Yoli.
So my mom, for some time now, she's been at home. She's not working. She's been at home, and we are worried about, as anybody I think at our age is, your parents, that they stay active and cognitive and they're talking to people. And a big piece of my mom's job when she was an esthetician. Part of it was, I guess, for my brother, myself, and my father, and everybody else. Well, it'd be nice if my father just stayed around and talked to my mom, but that's a different story. Is the interaction she had with her clients and the people and the stimulus and, like, just not watching TV or being silent at home or calling me in the middle of the day because somebody sent her a spam email. Whatever it is, it's active and it's moving, right? Mm-hmm. You got to keep moving. You got to keep moving. Mike always says that.
Yep.
She was recruited by one of her friends who's doing Instacart. And have you ever done Instacart before?
No, but I'm familiar with the procedure.
I know what it is. It's an online delivery service.
Groceries. Yeah. Yes. So she calls me and she's telling me that she's going to do Instacart. And I said, "Mom, you are such a slow driver and you don't take, they want what they want. You're going to show up." And for those of you at home that have never done this, you ask the people when you get the grocery
list.
They
put in an order and then the shopper, the position your mother wants, takes the order, heads to the grocery store, loads it up, brings it out to the person.
Correct.
And that's it.
So the shopper and the driver are the same person.
And they're communicating.
First of all, it's not just Instacart, but they do it at every major grocery chain does it as well. Yeah. Peapod.
Yes.
The Giant.
Of course.
Similar type of thing.
So I told my mom, I said, "I love you. You're not a very fast driver. These things are timed the way I understand. I'm happy that it's exciting that, they need Spanish speaking drivers. You are terrible on your phone and you're borderline hostile when people ask you to do things that you don't think are appropriate. Like, you'll show up with a certain milk brand that you like and not what they asked for.
I can see that happening.
If they want whole milk.
And Inca milk.
Yeah, or you'll be like,
the golden milk.
And I know you're going to buy more groceries because you're going to think that something pairs well, and they're never going to pay you for that. It'll just be strange that you show up with like an extra chirimoya or an avocado.
Why do they need but two bananas? They will have five.
Yeah, I was like,
tell her to go work for as a delivery. No, she doesn't want to be. Cause don't they put a lot of pressure on the delivery drivers for Amazon too?
Oh, I don't. I think when we were telling her to like find a hobby or get a job, we were like, go volunteer. Go to a hospital, maybe an old folks home. Leisure World has a space right there. I don't know what it is, but her friend, Veronica, now has her going to this little class this afternoon.
I see a television series. I'm sorry.
Yoli and Veronica.
Yoli and Veronica.
I am so concerned about this that I called my sister in California.
Don't be. Let her be her. Come on. She's capable. She can learn.
When she will go to Giant instead of Safeway because she likes Giant better. Like there's going to be this conflict up. And do you know who gets the call? Your boy. I'm trying to run multiple businesses here.
You've given her the prime directive.
Yeah.
The prime directive is, you get exactly what they want.
Yes.
That's what you do. And if they don't have it, they don't have it. By the way, the training is going to emphasize that with her. They're going to give her training enough to know exactly how to do it. And, you know, you might be surprised. Now,
my guess is that, Mike, the training is probably rather lean.
Well, yeah, I would assume so. But I would
on
think
an
that
iPad.
The one thing that concerns me that you mentioned up front, the driving.
Yes.
How bad are we talking here?
Well, she drives a speed limit if we're lucky, but she's not hostile. She's just very slow. And from what I recall, there are windows of delivery.
Yes.
She'll always make the last window, not because she's running late, because she just drives
slow. Pony, have you ever explored Instacart?
I have not, but there is definitely a window for delivery when it comes to any sort of like gig economy jobs. So you really do have to be on the ball constantly to make any money.
Carrie explored stuff like that?
No, I don't trust people to buy my groceries.
No, but I mean, I'm not talking about the gig economy. I'm talking about
as far as driving, no, she's never done that.
Yeah, an Uber, you have to be on time, right?
Yeah,
okay.
An Uber,
all right. Robert has DoorDashed.
So what was that like?
He was fine with it, and he got good tips, but he's, you know what? He was on the ball when he did it,
You get you see the little icon, whether it's a bike, a moped in the city, or a rickshaw, you see the icon come into your house.
Yeah.
My mom is not... Like she's her own CEO of her own life.
She'll go to airplane mode so people can't track.
Why
her. She'll
tell people my groceries still on Route 270?
She'll also ask. I could see her asking somebody to meet her two blocks away because it's easier for her to stop on Wisconsin Avenue.
If you were to choose an occupation, perhaps, and I'm saying not volunteer work, a money making occupation that she could do that you think she would find joy in. What do you think it would be? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, she would be a great administrative assistant if you didn't want certain things a certain way.
That's not a good answer. How about if she was? How about if she worked at one of those salons she used to work at, but she managed? Oh no, the phones probably wouldn't be a good idea.
Well, it's not.
She could be a greeter.
She's great on the phone.
They don't have greeters at hair salons.
She's a new person.
Wow. No, I know, but like at a Walmart or something. That would be a wonderful job for her.
She would be hostile. She'd ask him why they left the house that way. Like, where's your shirt? Like,
I don't know if she'd be good for that.
No, you know how she's like with Larry when she turns on the Larry charm when Larry would call her.
Oh, and really super charming.
Yeah, so she'd be great on the phone, but she turns on a dime.
Mm.
Like, she will be sweet, and then boom.
I don't know anything about that. I really don't know who turns on a dime. I've never seen
maybe
that.
Maybe this is why we get along so well.
I remind you of your mother. Oh, no. Oh, my
mother.
God. That nasty hum. You can't hear it.
You
I
have
can.
To
it
be
is.
A people pleaser if you're in the services business. My mom is not that.
I totally understand.
I'll keep it
Rob
posted.
Went to the dentist, ladies and gentlemen. And when we come out, if you're eating, stop. We'll be right back.
The latest bonus show is one to celebrate and has lots of surprises and revelations.
Telling you that someone's going to be late will make you later.
The squeaky wheel gets the grease.
And the cheese.
Yes, Dude Walker in the studio.
On camera and in person. Daddy, can I let you know when my birthday is? Should I tell you now?
No, don't. I didn't know that he was coming and suddenly he was...
I can just sit in my house and talk into a piece of metal and they send me a check.
I cut a hole in the closet.
When you're in New Orleans, don't piss off Mike.
The T-Boss Bonus Show is that fifth hour of fun that you can only get with a subscription. Get yours today and get laughing at MikeOmaraShow.com.
Thank you for listening to the Bonus Show. We really appreciate it. Hey, here's a question, everybody. Why do razors cost so much? I don't think they need to. Harry's knows that. Harry's razors are incredibly sharp and made in their own factory in Germany. Now, you know, Harry's has been with us a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when Harry's first started advertising on this show, it was just about the time I'd had a couple of years of going into drugstores and looking at razors and going, what is going on? Why did they overcharge you? Because they could get away with it. Harry's is different. And most importantly, they cost as little as $2 per blade. You can get a quality razor that you can depend on, and I mean you can depend on this, delivered straight to your door from Harry's. We all use them. They have wonderful products as well as the razors, the best products at the best prices. And right now, the Truman Shave Trial Set, a $15 value for just $3 at harrys.com/TMOS. It includes a 5-blade German-engineered razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover. Plus, you can schedule replacement blade delivery whenever you need them with refills as low as $2 each. That's $2 each. Try to get that in the drugstore. Harry's has dozens of affordable items to go along with your subscriptions. Shaving creams, post-shave balm, body washes, hydrating lotions, and more. And Harry's still is offering a no-risk trial. Don't like your shave? No worries on them. Don't get overcharged for razors, my friend. Get Harry's, a $15 Truman Shave Trial Set, for just $3 at harrys.com/TMOS. That's harrys.com/TMOS for a $3 trial set. Do it, do it, do it, do it. All right, when we last checked in, and why do I feel like I'm behind on commercials?
Well, Mike, you're not. We this is technically where we would do the flip side. But yes, we can talk tooth if you want.
No, let's do the flip side. Okay. I don't have the sound effect for the flip side. I've lost track with all. I forgot. I was away for a while. Sorry about that. Tomorrow we'll deal with your team.
All right. Very good. Mike, you talked about the par 3 competition at the Masters. Were you not at least impressed with Seamus?
Ooh.
The Irish guy that got two holes from one?
Yes, back-to-back aces, as they say.
Let me tell you, these guys are so good, but it's still fun to watch.
Yeah,
really is.
This is how they covered it, because they were not expecting it.
It's Seamus Power, downhill, 114 yards. There has not been a hole-in-one yet today. That sure sounded like a hole-in-one, Rory.
All right, pause it for a second.
Seamus. Okay.
I'm realizing that I think it's Sean McDonough, one of my favorite sportscasters.
Yeah.
I think that's who it is. Wake the F up to a degree, all right? I know you're trying to fit the lackadaisical,
the cool guy,
easygoing mood of the day, but maybe that's it. Well, we haven't had a hole-in-one. Well, sounds like maybe there was one there. It's still sports.
Here's the next hole.
This is Seamus Power on 9.
Have the proper speed.
Oh my goodness.
It looks good.
Seamus Power. Holes.
So he did get two in a row, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's always fun to watch. And having had one, I will always look back on having mine and missing it, not seeing it roll into the hole. I mean, it was 170 yards, so it's far away. But it was, it's always fun.
You and Arch Campbell, Mike, two people I know who have had holes in the
hole. Yeah, Arch had one and he put it on social media. That's right.
He did, all over. Mike, in Texas, this would really flip me out. You know how you can find your iPhone, find your iPad, have that find feature on your Apple instrument?
Yeah.
There's a glitch in the Find My software. And in this neighborhood in Texas, this guy has had 12 people come to his house saying that he has their equipment.
Oh,
and he does not. And it's gotten ugly.
Had to wake up and go answer the door and explain to them that I don't have their device. And people don't tend to believe you.
Well, they're all still on their way over here.
here, so you may want to come talk to me before they come here.
There's plenty of irrational people in the world that if they're angry, if they're drunk, if they, you know, have had a rough night and they lost their phone and thought it was stolen, that's my biggest concern. Someone coming to the house, potentially with a weapon.
Yeah, that's what I think about, is that the person that actually goes to the house and knocks on the door is probably not in the best mood.
No, they think someone stole it.
And to have 12 people do it.
Wow, that is a massive glitch. That is a dangerous glitch.
And
that
Apple has not responded. Apple has not responded to his frequent complaints, so that's why he's taken to social media and the news, so somebody
Very
can
strange.
Do something about it.
Wow. Wow, that's horrible. I mean, that would be absolutely horrible.
I'm going to side on Apple's side. This guy's an outlier.
Always. Shocker! Come on.
All right, I don't know if this is charming or horrifying, but her name is Audrey, and she's 3 years old. And she sort of has, even at age 3, the soul within her to be a heavy metal singer.
Everybody, I'm going to sing right now for one time. Let it go! Easter Bunny's coming!
Easter Bunny's coming.
Play that for your kids.
Yeah. Scary, no?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Now, this is great audio. This is a woman in Los Angeles who tried to steal a car. No, nothing too uncommon about that, except it had the club on the steering wheel.
Okay.
Mike, no one was killed, but there were injuries. Everyone's going to be okay. This is what it sounds like when you try to drive away in a car that has the club on the steering wheel.
She tried to bail out of the vehicle. When she did this, she stepped on here, slipped, and that's when myself and the other two gentlemen being interviewed got on top of her, tied her hands with a bandana, tied her shoes together, and stayed on top of her until police came to get her.
When asked for comment, the lady said,
"Hey, everybody, this is Carrie Underwood, wishing you a very happy Easter."
Exactly.
Hi, Carrie. I have to say, I always thought that the nature of the club, don't you have to free up the steering wheel enough to have a little play to turn the ignition, or did
you,
they just fire it up?
Play. You have play.
A little
you have
bit,
play
yeah.
To actually,
yeah, but just a little bit. Just a little bit. Enough to do it. Depending on how tight you put it on as well.
And also, I think it matters on the model of your car and how wore out your steering column might be.
Look, when I'm doing my my surfing, I do deep dives on idiots in cars and car chases a lot. There is a car chase that it defies imagination. This guy in a little S-Box car with a Ford Explorer cop in back of him. This guy, it looked almost like the Kentucky countryside.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
It's not only a highway. It's highway. It's a back road. It's dirt road. And then it's backyards. And if there's
backyards?
Something... Backyards. And like bucolic, you know, the Middleburg
farms?
Yeah. Yeah.
Bucolic backyards.
Wow.
On and on, they finally do. I forgot what that move is where they hit the rear of the car to try to turn it sideways.
Right. Oh, it's called the spiewak.
They get the guy to go sideways.
Yeah.
And the smoke's coming out of his radar. They get out of the car. Boom! He takes off again.
Oh my God!
But man, oh man, I've never seen it with the quality of the vehicle and the terrain this guy went on. They got him, of course, on foot though.
Yeah,
they finally
got
him on foot. It was great to watch.
Mike, you are a talented mimic. We've said this for years. And through the years, there's been overdone impressions, I feel. You even go back to the 1930s and 40s. Everyone did say James Cagney. And then they got more and more common as time went on.
Well, I have to tell you, Rob, that imitation's the best form of flattery.
Thank you, Ted.
Thank you.
Do you think, and I wonder if you agree with me, that right now the most overdone impression is Jennifer Coolidge?
There's a lady that does it on Saturday Night Live that's really good, and I love that impression. So I haven't seen other people do it, but is it done a lot?
It is. I see it a lot of places, especially on the talk and the gram. But this is a lady, you've heard of her, singer Kelsey Ballerini, who did a social media post where she does Jennifer Coolidge.
There are people that are better at this than me, as most things, but I can do a decent Jennifer Coolidge impression. Do you want to hear it? Oh, you look like the 4th of July. It makes me want a hot dog real bad.
Yeah, I mean,
pretty good.
What's fun is when there's one that everybody tries to do.
Yeah. Right.
The one that jumps out at me is George H.W. Bush back in the day. Even before W, everybody was doing Dana Carvey, wouldn't be prudent, that type of thing. And it's kind of fun. I don't mind seeing that. But that lady on Saturday Night Live does a great version of it. Really does.
All right. Phil Collins, very talented musician, obviously.
Genesis.
And I think probably one of his greatest moments is that drum fill in the song In the Air Tonight. It comes about halfway through the two-thirds of the way through the song. He had an explanation for it. It was the first time he had produced his own music, so he could really go overboard with that drum fill, but it was quiet leading up to it, and he had an interesting nickname for it.
When we did In the Air Tonight, I did a drum fill, and that fill was da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And when we came to mix it, we really went to town on it. You're kind of drawing people in and then suddenly punching him in the face with this. We used to call it the face hugger sound. You know the movie Alien where this thing comes out? That was the way we referred to the drum sound.
He called it the face hugger sound.
That's cool.
It is a great sounding record.
Can you do that on drums?
It's an easy rip. What he's referring to is in post-production, he took a well-miked drum, a well-tuned drum, but then they just turned it into this
thunderous.
And, now with electronics, you can do that and
very cool.
And do it
one
very
more time.
Easily.
I love the way it sounds.
Bill Collins' drum solo is just like a bag of potato chips. Always satisfying.
Thank you, Ted. And let's close with this.
And then you're going to have to play everything after this. I have nothing. I have no ability to play anything.
Mike,
thank you.
Sunday is a big day.
Yes.
And there's a comic. His name is John Evans. And
it's Easter, isn't it?
Yes,
it's Easter,
It is Easter.
Easter Bunny.
And happy Easter, Bunny.
Thank you.
And Mike, what's important is if you're going to go to IHOP and you're drunk, have a little Easter fun.
My favorite thing to do at those kind of places when all my friends are drunk and we're like there at 3 a.m, I order the big combination breakfast. And when they get to the part where they ask me what kind of eggs I want, I'm like, Easter, and could you hide them from me? And I stare at them till it's awkward. Like, who wants it more? The menu says 2 eggs any style, and the style I have chosen is Easter.
Mike, that's all I have. I love that. That is awesome. Hey, we got a great bonus show tomorrow with Oscar and Rob. You're going to love it. You're really going to enjoy that. Oscar is going to talk more about his mother's diversions, and Rob is going to talk about Novocaine.
Too
the
much.
Magic drug.
Yes, the cane.
It is.
It's going to be special. And also, they'll be talking about our countdown to NOLA and how much fun that's going to be. And you're going to love every minute of it. I am going to take a powder right now and try to figure out my hum. I need a good hummer. I don't know what's going on here. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
It does do a lot of good. Goodbye.
Ciao, ciao.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.